enjoying your time with us.
And I'm going to welcome Brother Leroy Kennedy from the Gideon's International. He's going to come and share with us this morning. So, Brother Leroy, come on.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I was speaking in a church a few weeks ago up in West Virginia, and after the service, brother and I, we went out for lunch, and he asked a question. He said, "Leroy, when you get around and you speak in all of these different churches across the country," he says, "you go in and speak to these congregations," he said, "how do you feel?" I said, "you know, when I'm among brothers and sisters in Christ, I feel very welcome. But most of the time, I look like a fly in a bowl of milk." Some of you will catch on to it. During the year, course of the year, every year, volunteers from different parts of the country, they go to New York City to volunteer their time to pass out scriptures. And it was a short time ago when I went to New York City, and my first assignment was Rikers Island. And when I got off the boat and I saw that sign up there, it says, "Rikers Island, home of New York boldness." And I can tell you, to go in to see those young men and to be able to give them a copy of the Word of God really blessed my heart. When we went to New York City, I was standing by the subway of Manhattan University. And this young lady by the name of Maria, she came up to me, she got off that sub, she came up to me, and she gave me a big hug. And now here I am in New York City. This young lady came up and started hugging me. Made me feel a little bit uncomfortable. After I broke her away and she was crying, and she said, "Mister, I am so glad that you're here to give a copy of the Word of God to students, because you was here and the Gideons was here in 1989 and they gave my grandmother this testament." Mm-hmm. And she said, "but every year, every time my grandmother and I, we would get together, she would read to me from this testament. And my grandmother would come down and she would see Gideon's passing out testament and just thank them, because it was through that testament that Maria came to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ." Amen. New York City. When we went up there last year, our goal was to put testaments in the hands of firemen, police officers, on the streets, wherever we could. And by the end of the week, we have placed over 250,000 copies of the Word of God. I'm going to tell you, this little gadget right here has been giving me a fit ever since I've been here. And we've changed batteries. Still don't seem to be working. So I'm going to put it down. So if you just go put that one slide up, say Gideon's, that'll be it. That's it. We won't even worry about it. But anyway, New York City, 250,000 testaments in the hands of firemen, police officers, went into the hospitals, universities, the school, just so many open hearts. And it's all because of you. It's because of your support that the Gideons are able to do that. In over 200 countries of the world, there's over 300,000 missionaries passing out the word of God. Last year, the Gideons placed over 95 million copies of God's word. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm not a mathematician. When I got these figures, I wanted to reduce them to the smallest common denominator. So what I did, I got me a legal pad, two number two pencils. I fixed me a tall cup of coffee. And I was sitting out on the patio just crunching numbers. And my little nine-year-old grandson came out and said, "Papa, what you doing?" And I explained to him what I was trying to do. He pulled this little gadget out of his pocket. And he gave me the results. I said, "Man, that thing is neat. What do you call that?" He said, "A calculator." 2.5 scriptures every second of the day. Can you imagine, while you're sitting here right now, 2.5 scriptures are being placed someplace in the world? And I can tell you, we do it one scripture at a time. We don't send truckloads of Bibles, or testaments, or missionary groups. When a Bible is placed, it is placed from the hands of a Gideon, one scripture at a time. I want to get personal with you, share my personal experience with the Gideons. You see, I grew up in a home that sold bootleg whiskey. My mother was an alcoholic. My father was an alcoholic. My sister was suicidal. And my brother died from a crippling disease at a very early age. At the age of 13, I witnessed the stabbing death of my father. And it was that experience that caused me to harden my heart against the world. I got involved with drugs, alcohol, prostitution. But during that time, I knew there was something missing in my life. I didn't know what it was. I thought, well, maybe if I had more drugs or had more things, maybe that would be the solution. But it wasn't. But I had an aunt. She would come by my house on a Sunday morning and literally drag me out of bed, put me on that trolley, and take me to church with her on a Sunday. It got to a point where it was easier to go to church with that old lady than fight with her. Church got to be fun because I learned where they put the money from the collection plate. And I used to steal money from the collection plate to support my drug habits. So when she would come by on a Sunday morning, I would be up, dressed, and ready to go. And she thought, "Oh, the word of God is really getting into my nephew." It wasn't the word of God, it was the money from the collection plate. But after a period of time, some of those church leaders, they caught me taking the money, and they took me to a place they called the upper room. Well, after having a conversation in the upper room with those church leaders, I didn't have any more use for that church. I got back out into the streets of Philadelphia, got deeper involved with drugs, alcohol, prostitution. But there was a man in my neighborhood by the name of Charlie Karofsky. Charlie owned a butcher shop in my neighborhood. And he gave me a job in his butcher shop in an effort to keep me out of trouble. Charlie and I, we became very good friends. As a matter of fact, Charlie became like a father figure to me. I would go into his house on a Sunday, Saturday afternoon, help him wash cars, cut grass. I would have lunch and dinner with him and his wife. That was an experience that I never had before. But I tell you, our relationship fell apart when he caught me dealing drugs across CrossFit County to his customers. There I was. Broken relationship with my father figure. Back on the streets of Philly, still searching for something to fill that void. I thought, well, maybe if I joined the military, that would be the solution. I could join the army. I could travel. I could see the world. Boy, that sounds so exciting. Well, I joined the army. Within 8 weeks, I had went AWOL twice because of my drug problem. And Uncle Sam concluded, Kennedy, you are useless, and we are not going to waste our time trying to make a soldier out of you. Now, I want you to know, this was during the time when they was drafting and sending any and everybody to Vietnam. But they didn't want anything to do with Leroy Kennedy. Here I was, back on the streets of Philly, still searching for something to fill that emptiness in my life. I got married, thought that would be the solution. 3 kids, 6 years later, my wife and I, we had worked hard. We saved our money to give our kids a big Christmas. A few weeks before Christmas, I went to the bank. I withdrew all of the Christmas funds. I went to the drug house, started gambling. The place got raided, and I ended up in jail. I called my wife to explain to her what had happened. A few hours later, she sent her attorney down to get me out of jail. But the condition of my release was for me to sign my divorce papers, deed my portion of the house over to her, and leave the city of Philadelphia. That was one dark moment in my life. After I was released from jail, I went to the airport with only a few dollars in my pocket. I laid it on the counter, and I asked for the first plane going anywhere leaving Philadelphia. I ended up in Detroit, Michigan. No job, no friends, and no home. I ended up in a homeless shelter. And during that time in that homeless shelter, I was just trying to recap my life, trying to understand what in the world is happening to me. I met a lady who was doing volunteer counseling work. We developed a relationship and we got married. One kid, 18 months later, she concluded, Leroy Kennedy, you're useless, you're no good, and I want you out of my life. At the age of 30, I was on my third marriage, still searching for something to fill that void in my life. My wife had came to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, and she would tell me how Jesus could change my life. I told her, nobody can change me. She said, but Jesus can change your life. She began to have a Bible study in our home. And her Christian friends would come over on a Tuesday and a Wednesday evening. And I did not like those Christians coming into my house. I would call my drug friends over. I called my alcoholic friends over. And on the night that they was having prayer meeting and Bible study, we would be in the other room smoking dope, tooting coke, telling dirty jokes. I was determined to run those Christians out of my house. My wife, she said, I can't continue to live like this. Either you change or I'm leaving. I told her I couldn't change. I didn't know how. She said, but Jesus can change your life. A few weeks went by. She noticed that I was not making any effort to change my way of living. She packed up everything that she had, and she moved back to Southern Illinois. That following morning after she left, I got up early, rolled me a joint, tooted some coke, took me a couple of hits of blotted acid, which is a hallucinating drug. And I went for a walk at a county park up in Battle Creek, Michigan, where Lee was living. And as I was walking through that park, it was a park that was occupied by the homeless. I was walking through that park and I found a park bench. And I was sitting on that park bench just recapping my life, thinking about all the things people had said about me. You're useless. You're no good. You will never amount to nothing. It was that day I came to the conclusion that I would be better off to the world if I were dead. And I was going to go home that morning. I started walking through that park, heading home to start popping pills to commit suicide. But there were some faithful men from a local church like this. They was in the park, and they was witnessing to the homeless, and they was giving them these little testaments. And one of those men, he had a handful of these little Gideon Place testaments, and he had a Bible tucked under his arms, and he walked up to me, he had a big smile on his face. He said, "Do you know Jesus?" I said, "No, and I don't want to know Jesus." He said, "Jesus loves you." I said, "Man, if you knew of all the things that I have done and all the people whom I hurt, nobody, absolutely nobody would love me." And I didn't want to hear any more about his Jesus. I pushed him aside. And when I pushed him aside, those testaments and that Bible that he was carrying fell to the ground. And when I reached down to pick up that Bible, my eyes was glued to the page of Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18 and 19. It says, "Come now, let us reason together, said the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red as crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good from the land." I'm going to tell you, those words did surgery on my soul. I fell to my knees. I began to cry. That man picked up one of those little Gideon Place New Testaments, and he opened it up and he showed me. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." And I personalized that. "For God so loved Leroy Kennedy that he gave his only begotten Son." And it was, he showed me some other scripture. And it was that day I prayed. I asked the Lord Jesus Christ to come into my heart, to forgive me of my sins, clean up my life, and make me somebody. I want you to know the Lord heard that prayer and the Lord answered that prayer. And I was instantly healed from my dependency of drugs. Amen. For the first time in my life, I felt whole. I felt complete. I felt like a new person. I'm going to tell you, I have never had anything to bring me down off of an acid trip. But when Jesus Christ came into my heart, cleaned up my life, I was instantly healed from that high and from my dependency on drugs. I was so excited. I was on my way home, and a few of my friends was hanging out on the corner. I was on my way home to call my wife to tell her about my life-changing experience. And some of my friends was hanging out on the corner. And they say, "Hey, Lee, hey, we just got some new weed, man. Let's go to your house and get high." But boy, I tell you, I begin to tell them about Jesus. I begin to tell them about my life-changing experience. They looked at me. They looked at each other. And I said, "That dope has fried his mind." I went home, got on the phone, I called my wife, and I shared with her about my life-changing experience. She said, "I know there's something different about you. because we've been talking for 45 minutes and you have not said one bad word. The Lord had even taught me how to speak English. My wife and I, we got back together, committed our marriage to the Lord. Doctors had told my wife she'd never be able to bear children. But you know, what's impossible for man is not impossible for God. The Lord began to bless us with 1, 2, 3, 4. My prayer life got very strong. Lord, no more! You know, the Lord had delivered me from the drugs, the alcohol, but I was still struggling. I was still struggling with cigarettes. I couldn't quit. I was smoking 2 packs a day. I went to my pastor and asked him to pray. I went for the elders, asked them to pray. I would come down on a Sunday morning and I would kneel and ask for prayer. But I couldn't give up those cigarettes. One evening, midweek service, we had an evangelist who came to church, and he preached a challenging message. And he said, there's some things that you have going on in your life that you would like to get rid of. He said, I want to sing this song as you come towards the front. And I want this song to be your prayer. And that song was, I Surrender All. And as people began to sing, I was standing there. And my wife, she had a way of getting her point across to me that was with her elbow. She gave me an elbow. Next thing I know, I was in that aisle going towards the front singing that song, I Surrender All. Well, nothing happened. After church, got in the car, fired up a cigarette, and she asked, were you serious? I say, sure. But right back, I want a cigarette. Few weeks went by, nothing happened. One Sunday, I didn't go to church. I knew my pastor was going to be long-winded that Sunday morning, and I wanted to watch the first half of seeing the Redskins beat up on the Cowboys. So I didn't go to church that Sunday morning. After church, my little 6-year-old daughter, she came running in the house, gave me a big smile and a hug, and she said, Dad, today in children's church, I pray that you would quit smoking. Instantly, the Lord delivered me from them cigarettes by the prayers of a 6-year-old. And she'll still tell that testimony today. And she's almost 40. But I tell you, the Lord was blessing us. My pastor gave me an invitation to go to a dinner that was sponsored by the Gideons. And I thought, boy, this is going to be a great time to take my wife out to a nice restaurant, have a great meal, and it's not going to cost me a dime. So we went, and it was a good dinner, good message, and towards the end, the moderator challenged the guests to fill out an application and become a part of the Gideon's International. Well, I was sitting there, and he noticed that I wasn't even looking at the application. And he walked over and asked me if I had any questions, and I said, no, I don't have any questions. But my wife, like I said, she had a way of getting her point across to me, boy, she elbowed me, and I knew it was in my best interest to fill out that application. And it was that night we became members of the Gideon's International down in southern Illinois. And we worked with the Gideons down in Southern Illinois. And after 10 years of marriage, working with the Gideons, working in the jail ministry, my wife and father in the children ministry and everything. And after 10 years of marriage, I came home from work. My wife had been sick. I took her to the doctor. Test revealed she had cancer. 9 months later, she died. But during those 9 months leading up to her death, my Christian friends would come over and they would pray with us. And when they would leave, they would always give me the Christian favorite scripture during times of troubles. Romans 8:28. How all things work together for good for those that love him and are called according to his purpose. I'm going to tell you, during those 9 months, I had Romans 8:28 up here. I was sick of Romans 8:28 because I could not understand the reality of Romans 8:28. I would say, Lord, how is it that you're telling me something's good is going to come out of me losing my best friend and the mother of my 4 children? I couldn't understand that whatsoever. Well, a few weeks after she died, I was collecting her personal things. And I picked up her Bible and a 3-page letter fell out of it. 2 of those pages was written to each one of my children and the day that she prayed and led each one of them to the Lord. 3rd page was written to me. You know how she started her letter? Romans 8:28. Here is a woman that knew almost to the day when she was going to be leaving this world, and she can quote Romans 8:28. I tell you, church, that was one of the greatest inspirations for me. My life took on new meanings. I don't have time to go into all the details, but I wrote a book. The name of the book is Let Us Reason Together.
Amen.
You have to read the book to get those details. But here I am now sharing some of the time zones of my life on how the Lord changed me, a drug addict from the streets of Philly, a washed up reject from the military. Lord changed my heart. He gave me a promise. If ye be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good from the land. Today, I'm a retired Walmart executive and a member of the largest Christian businessman organization in the world, Gideon's International. That wasn't my plan. That was God's plan. When my wife picked me out of the house, my first wife picked me out of the house in Philadelphia, I swore that I was not going back to Philadelphia ever to live or to work. I finished a 20-year career with Walmart in charge of all 7 of the Philadelphia stores. That was God's plan. I like the writers of Hebrew, Proverbs. Many are the plans in a man's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. So I want to say thank you for letting me come and share my testimony. And I want to encourage you to support the Gideons International. Every dollar that you give goes to buy scripture. And not one penny goes towards paying the expenses of a Gideon. Because we have men all over this county who came from different areas of the state today to speak in churches. And they pay their own expenses. God has blessed us. And maybe there's somebody here today who would like to be part of the Gideons. I want you to tell you, you need to speak to me, because the Lord can use you and your wife in this ministry. So I want to say thank you. God took a nobody, made me a somebody, so I can tell everybody that Jesus Christ is Lord. God bless you.
Gary, it's easier for me to get up here and follow you when you speak. you know, I tell you guys from time to time that I don't like going to the doctor when I'm sick. I want going to the doctor to be something that I do on my terms. Now, does that ever work out? No. I go to the doctor and I have this idea in my mind. Okay, I'm going to get to a lower weight than I was the last time I was at the doctor. And I'm going to make sure my blood pressure's down from where it was the last time I was at the doctor. And all these things. Because I know that when I get to the doctor, they're going to point out all these flaws. And it never works that way, does it? No. You get a kidney stone, you go to the doctor. You don't care what your blood pressure was the last time or what your weight was or anything else. So many people have this idea that I'm going to get everything in order in my own life, and then me and the Lord can work something out. Then I'm going to get myself to a position where, you know, I have something to bring to Him. Brother Leroy, did you have anything to bring? No. He was at his worst. And yet, the Lord didn't, you know. I bet on the day that Billy Graham was saved and the day that Brother Leroy was saved, the Lord looked at both of them the same, and you know what? He saw purpose. And he saw someone, he saw someone who needed him. He saw someone that Jesus died for. Folks, I say every week, I don't know your heart. I don't know your situation. Yes, you're here, most of you, almost every week, but you know, I spent a lot of years in church. Pastor knew me really well. Before one day, the Lord spoke to my heart and I realized, man, being a pastor's kid doesn't make a way for me to go to heaven. That doesn't give me a relationship with the Lord Jesus just because I'm a pastor's kid. That doesn't, you know, give me access to the Father. A relationship with Jesus does. Experiencing that salvation. That's the only way, folks. So my first appeal to you this morning is, if you hear Brother Leroy's testimony this morning and you say, you know, maybe I have this idea that someday I'm going to be good enough to work something out with the Lord, that you will never be good enough to work anything. Even our best deeds. You know, I mentioned Billy Graham. You know, when Billy Graham fills a coliseum and 100,000 people get saved, you know what God sees? Our best acts are what? Filthy rags. Praise God for what Billy Graham did, but, you know, is God impressed with Billy Graham? Is God impressed with any of us? He's commanded us to love Him and to love people. One way in which we can demonstrate a love for people is through sending out His Word. Maybe you don't have the ability to go to New York City and hand out testaments. Maybe you don't have the ability to, you know, go to prayer breakfast on Saturday morning, or you know what, you have the ability to give some of your treasure. You know, maybe you can't give your time, maybe you can't give your talent, you can give your treasure to support the Gideons International. Not somebody collecting a big salary, but sending the Word of God out. Folks, I love going to events sponsored by the Gideons, because every time you do, you hear testimony of what the Word of God does when it goes out. It's my second appeal. If you can, give of your treasure towards the Gideon's International. The Word of God going forth. Thirdly, at one point, I think when I got here 5 years ago, we had a number of Gideons in this church. I don't know what we currently have right now. Maybe a handful. Men? some of you are in a position where you can step into that role. And you say, well, I don't have public speaking experience. I don't have this. I don't have this. Has the Lord ever failed any of us? Brother Leroy? Gary? No. He calls us to be obedient. And then He does the work. He equips us to do the work that He's called us to do. Some of you guys, you can step into that role. You can serve the Lord through the ministry of the Gideon's International. Brother Leroy would love to talk to you about that. Brother Gary would love to talk to you about that. Don't leave today. You know, we talked last week about that little burning sensation sometimes that you feel in your heart. You might not know exactly what that is. Some of you may feel that this morning, you guys, and you know, maybe the Spirit is drawing you towards this ministry. I don't know what your heart is. I don't know what the Lord's putting on your heart. But I would encourage you to ask some questions of these guys before you leave here today if you feel that. I'm going to invite our praise team to come up this morning. We're going to sing one final song of invitation. And it speaks to that defining moment in Brother Leroy's life. That moment where he was at his lowest. That moment when the Lord took that addiction to cigarettes from him, you know, that wasn't in his power. It wasn't in his strength. It wasn't in his ability. Just like when any of us came to know the Lord, it wasn't us. It was the Lord drawing us. And our salvation is not in anything other than in Christ alone.